unafraid, uninfluenced, unleashed. You're listening to American Unleashed.
Hello, everybody, and welcome again to another episode of American Unleashed. I am your host, and today we are talking about another part of our United States Constitution's First Amendment. We're going to go over freedom of speech. We're going to go over some different bits and pieces with you from the internet as well, some stories that have come up, some different things that have happened, and then focus on our feature. Right now, I hope everybody's doing all right. We've had a little bit of activity on the Facebook. Again, you can find us on Facebook at American Unleashed, and go check that page out. And as always, our motto is freedom first. Here we are absolutely here to push freedom first as the, I think, the best way for us to solve problems here in the country. We have all kinds of opportunities to make changes and to get along better if we just put freedom first and just figure it out that way. What have we got going on the internet? Well, we've got several stories that have come up. Not a ton this week. But once again, the media's propaganda war against Israel is goose-stepping forward, and it truly is endangering the lives of millions, because what they're doing is they're appeasing Islamic terror in this war. And as we all talked about last week, Candace Owens is now gone from her company because she decided to take the wrong side and to vilify Israel and the real victim in this thing, and take sides and try to give excuses to the Islamic terror states, who, I don't know what she doesn't understand, the fact that they're quote-unquote leaders. Again, I use that phrase very, very loosely for them. For decades, and I've watched it most of my life, where they've called for Israel to be wiped off the map. So I'm not sure why you have trouble figuring out who the good guy and the bad guy is here. One is talking about straight-up genocide and the destruction of Israel and every one part of it, and the other one is just saying, hey, just let us be. Let us have our state. Let us have our little tiny piece of land. And if you've ever seen a map of the Middle East and seen how small Israel is, you realize it's the Rhode Island of the Middle East. It is this teeny tiny piece of land, but because it is stuck in the middle of all these Islamic states, they think they should be able to take it back. And of course they claim that it's holy ground for them, but of course others claim it's holy ground for them. People, there's all kinds of places all over this planet that somebody can complain or claim is holy ground. But you have Islam, which is basically a very primitive cult that has yet to claw its way out of the Dark Ages. So, another Hollywood hypocrite has shown her true colors. Lizzo, who, if you remember, an awards show a while back, said that she was going to quit music. She didn't like the negative words, and she didn't like the harsh language. And she said she quit. She's right there up on stage. I quit. Well, now she is backpedaling, like Whoopi Goldberg, like so many others have backpedaled on things they've stated. She is saying that she is not going to quit music. She is just going to quit the negativity. Okay, that's not really what you said, not the same thing, but, you know, she promised to quit. Lizzo, do us all a favor, please, just go away. Because that's the way it needs to be. I've seen a very large uptick in the hypocrisy levels on the internet lately, and I know we can't fix anything with social media. You know, it's a platform where we should be able to have a good discussion between each other, but unfortunately we can't. But people just need to realize that, you know, these name-calling and making statements of no substance. You know, had another one who on, I believe it was Yahoo.com, on one of their supposed news stories, his big rebuttal to my statement was, "You're dumb." That was it. "You're dumb." And what's really sad is people on the other side of that sit there at their computers and they say that kind of stuff and they think somehow that makes them a winner in the argument. It's hysterical because they think they just, oh, they struck a blow for goodness and decency against those horrible left right wingers. It's ridiculous. They have name calling. They have no substance or anything else. If they had some substance, they'd share it. Speaking of substance, we're going to get into it here in a little while, our First Amendment, freedom of speech. But also, I saw a quote online the other day that I thought was really good for what's going on in the world right now. There is disorder at the border by executive order. And to me, I think that's a pretty good description of what's going on down there. Because right now, you can go to the airport and you get screened and checked and scanned and x-rayed and visualized and patted down and all this other stuff, where at the border they are giving away health care, they're giving away all kinds of benefits, they're giving away all kinds of things and quote-unquote freebies to those coming across our borders illegally and completely unvetted. It was only 4 years ago that they didn't want you to go to the grocery store unless you'd had a shot. And now people are being let in with who knows what kind of diseases, who knows what kind of viruses, and they're not being checked, they're not being screened in any way, shape, or form at all. And that's basically the Biden policy, is just let them on in. And a lot of times they're getting free room and board, they're getting food, they're getting all kinds of things. While we have our veterans, many veterans living on the streets in this country, it's abhorrent what the left try to get away with and are currently getting away with. And this November, we've got to stop that. And as we get closer to the election, I'm going to ask you to do something. Before you go vote, I want you to go to the grocery store. Before you vote, I want you to go to the gas station to fill up your tank. I want you to see those prices and see what this administration and the Democrats have done to our country before you go vote. And if you still somehow can vote Democrat, you probably shouldn't be voting because you really don't understand what's going on in the world. What else is going on in the world? Well, I'll tell you what. There's one story that's come out that says Roseanne Barr, Mel Gibson, and Mark Wahlberg are supposedly working together for a non-woke production studio. Given this was not released on April Fool's Day, but it was close enough, I think it might be a joke, especially given Marky Mark's hypocritic statements about gun rights. Although he uses them in all his movies, he doesn't think regular people should have free and total access to firearms the way our Constitution requires us be to have. And then there's a big controversy over the LSU-Iowa women's basketball game, where basically the LSU women's basketball team walked off the court during the national anthem while Iowa stayed. They held hands in solidarity, and fortunately, they beat LSU by 7. And up to a day or so ago, LSU women's basketball was removing negative comments from their social media. I made one kind of late in the game. It is still up. We'll see how long that lasts. And that gets into kind of where we're going today's subject with freedom of speech, because you think and you say, well, it's their site, they can take down this or that. Well, they can, but that doesn't necessarily mean they should. Now, one of the things I need to clarify about freedom of speech is, for years I've had a lot of people say, well, freedom of speech means I can say what I want, when I want, where I want, who I want, and however I want. Yes and no. You do have the freedom of speech. Now, this often gets mixed up with the freedom for the redress of grievances. Now, the redress of grievances is the part of our First Amendment that allows us to directly criticize and question our elected officials. We have the ability to do so because of that, the redress of grievances, because that's a direct comment about exactly that, where we have a grievance against either the official themselves or against a policy or a bill or a law or something that's in effect. And the redress of grievances, which we'll get to in a couple of weeks, I believe it is. Let's see, 3 weeks I think it is. Yeah, it's the final part of the First Amendment. But it was put there as kind of a bullet point to let everyone know that, yes, we do have the right to question our elected officials. In 2020, we heard a lot of different people say, well, don't question the science. Don't question the scientists. Don't question Fauci. Don't question BRICS. But as we've talked on this show many times before, when they tell you not to question is when you should be asking the most questions. And a lot of the people they were propping up in that nightmare were not elected officials. They were appointed. which at least in their minds means that they only have accountability to those who appointed them and those who have followed in leadership, which is not true, because as a government individual, they have accountability to the people. So when they tell you, you can't question this and you can't question that, is when you should question the most. And so we need to address this difference between the freedom of speech and the freedom for the redress of grievances, because freedom of speech was meant to be so much more. If you go back through, and I quote and talk about the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers, and you need to make sure you research those thoroughly, because they're your source guide to our United States Constitution, because they are the direct words and the direct writings of our founding fathers, collected and published by Benjamin Franklin. And again, I tell you, don't believe me. If you don't want to believe me, you don't. I don't want you to. I'm not Bill O'Reilly. I'm not Glenn Beckerhead and all these other people. I don't ask you to take my word for anything. I'm not going to have you ever sit there and say, well, I heard it from this guy on this show, so it must be true. I will. If you do that, I'm going to call you out, because you need to learn. You need to read. You need to understand why these things mean the things that they do. And your best source of material for our United States Constitution are the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers, and remembering that the quote-unquote big lie has nothing to do with Donald Trump. It has nothing to do with an election. The big lie is when they tell you, oh, you've got to be a lawyer to really understand our Constitution, and that is a flat-out lie. You can understand our United States Constitution very easily if you're willing to read and you're willing to do some research around what you read. There's a good book you can still find on Amazon and some of these other places called Our Rugged Constitution. I'll try to get a picture of it posted up later. I don't have it on my phone. I have to wait till I get back to the main computer to post it up. But it is called Our Rugged Constitution, and it is very simple. Has a lot of drawings and illustrations in there that will remind you of the old social studies books we had back in the 60s and 70s. But it's very, very clear and a very concise description of our Constitution. And it's kind of a even simpler form. And I've tried to get some people to read it, and they've said they've claimed to, and they still don't understand, which I'm like, okay, I don't know how to use smaller words than that. But it goes down to simply the desire to learn. Do you have the desire to learn? If you don't have the desire to learn, you're not going to be any good to anybody. But if you have the desire to learn, then you can read and you can study and do actual research, which, again, starts with turning off your television and leaving your comfort zone and reading things that you may disagree with. If you're constantly reading everything you simply agree with, then you're not growing, you're not expanding, you're not educating yourself at all. You have to read things that differ with what you thought you knew and what you think you know. And what we know is that freedom of speech is more than just, and Trace Adkins released this in a book several years ago, and he put a video on YouTube where his intentions were great, but he wasn't quite correct in where he was going with it, because he said, well, freedom of speech is really about being able to question your officials. Though, no, the redress of grievances is that part. The freedom of speech is literally supposed to be about that throughout American society. You're supposed to be able to question this and question that. You're supposed to be able to confront an organization you think is fraudulent that claims to be a charity. And you can speak out and say, well, I don't believe in this. Or you can speak out on an issue. We had one recently up the road in Springfield where they wanted to tear down an old haunted house downtown for literally no reason whatsoever. And they were just going to build a park. It wasn't like industry was wanting to move in and take the land and build something that was going to create jobs and all this stuff. They just wanted to tear the building down. They didn't care for it. And it was all attitude, all political. I think a lot of it probably came from some of the churches up there. Oh, it's a haunted house. That's one of the Halloween things. That's a worth but the devil right there. We can't have the devilish things like that in our town. We need to get rid of that. That's just not right. We need another church there. But they made these just ridiculous. They never offered up a decent or common sense reason to tear the building down. Years ago, the building was upgraded with the sprinkler system. It you know, it was only used during the Halloween times for these things, but there was absolutely no reason to tear it down. The people spoke up, and eventually, I believe the issue has been defeated, but they were just going to run it through the system very quickly, and luckily, the people spoke up very harshly and very critically, and were able to save it. But it's supposed to go further than that. It's supposed to even go into the private sector, where if you want to question the validity of a product, say there's a car on the road and you say, well, this car, it's dangerous. It's not safe for people. And so you have the right to speak up and make your voice heard. And it does have some limits when you work for a company if they have something written into the bylaws, if they have something written into your employment contract. And one of the ways they can catch you on this is, let's say you work for company XYZ, and XYZ has a certain policy about getting into certain political issues and things you can or cannot say online publicly if you're an employee of the company. Now, if you have this on your social media, and let's say you're on Facebook, that's the one, I just know that one the best. So you're on Facebook and you have listed on your profile that you work for company XYZ. It's publicly stated. You've got it listed where anybody, Joe Blow, can go to your page and see you work for XYZ, and you make some radically insane statement that gets back to your bosses. Well, technically, if it's in the rules and the contract or the bylaws, they can fire you for saying that because it was written in there like that. And you stated publicly that you worked for the company. So you have a voice that does reflect back on your employer. And you chose to post that up there and put the job up there and tell people, this is where I work. So you take a modicum of responsibility. Remember that word we talked about the first day, responsibility. You must take responsibility and you must take accountability for your actions. So understand, if you don't want that kind of a backlash, then maybe you should leave your employer off of your social media. Maybe you should find a different way to share your opinions. That's how I started the American Unleashed page on Facebook, was that I got a lot into political issues, yet I would bug the heck out of my friends online because I would post all this political stuff, and it some of them just don't like it all over the place. And so as a courtesy, I didn't have to, but as a courtesy, I started the page as a place just to rant and to let off steam about these issues. Never expecting to get followers, never expecting to get people to like what I was saying. It was just a place for me to do it without driving my friends crazy. And it also left me a page where I could comment on news sites and whatever from that page and be a voice that could be heard. It was just a way of doing things. And that's what I chose to do, again, out of courtesy to those on my friends list. And you can do that. You can create your own American Unleashed style page, where you can use it for your ranting and your raving about whatever issues that you're passionate about. And I encourage you to find a way to do this. Even if you just take up a journal and you're the only one ever reads it, if you write this stuff down and you're passionate and you feel it about, truly in your heart and your soul, get it down on paper, get it down on the internet, get it down somewhere, say it out loud, give yourself a speech in front of the mirror. But don't be silent. There is no reason for you to be silent, period. Because I can tell you throughout history, the people who have silenced their opponents or their enemies for those political reasons like that have never, ever been the good guy. I don't care if it's the church. I don't care if it's this wing, that wing, this group, that group. It doesn't matter. None of them have ever been the good guy. Now, we have times where the control of information is out there due to certain things like national security. You know, you can't sit there like Geraldo did one time and get on the ground and draw a little map in the sand and say, by the way, here's where all of our troops are. I'm still surprised he's still walking around after that one. He shouldn't have been. But certain things you got to understand. It's like yelling fire in a crowded theater. You know, you don't do that because then you are putting people at risk. And especially if you're doing it and there is no fire, there is nothing there. Why you would do that, I don't know. I know there are some sick individuals out there who find that kind of stupidity humorous, and it's a truly pathetic way to be. But for the most part, freedom of speech actually really is supposed to be about society as a whole, and it's supposed to be that you have the right to speak out, to say what your opinion is, to state it out loud and in public if you wish, as long as you are not once again, as we've talked about before, as long as you're not infringing upon the rights, freedoms, and liberties of others, there really shouldn't be a limit to it. And that's where freedom of speech really goes to. The part about being able to criticize and call out our elected officials for their own behavior or their policies or their words or anything else really sets more into that redress of grievances kind of thing. And a little bit of it does fall over onto both categories. Let's say, you know, a politician gets on one of these fake cable news channels and he makes some crazy statement. I don't know. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Now, when Bill Clinton said that, he was the president of the United States, so he had to be held accountable to a higher level because he was making a false statement. He knew he was making a false statement. A lot of us who'd been following the story with even a mild sense of curiosity could tell he was making a false statement because we knew that he'd had sexual relations with Monica Lewinsky and several others that they had tried to cover up. And now he was just flat out lying to the people. And that can go both ways. We can criticize that through both the redress of grievances because he's acting immorally as an elected official, but we can also call it out because he's using a public forum as a citizen to just tell an outright lie. And it's the same reason we can criticize Jimmy Kimmel or The View or any of these others. They'll say, oh, well, we're a private company and we're private this. You can't criticize. Well, when you put yourself out on public television station into the public on a network station or a network news program, you're putting yourselves out there for those criticisms, and those criticisms do have a right to them. So in a way, that whole statement about, well, I can say what I want, when I want, where I want, and how I want to anyone I want, is kind of true. It is not entirely true because I said occasionally there are exceptions like yelling fire in a crowded theater or to make statements you know to be dishonest or slanderous. And also you go to the flip side of that. Okay, what about those who silence the others? Not just the people who make all the noise like me, and I could name several other people I know who I do have respect for who have public voices who get on the air and rant a lot. But then there's the other side where they try to silence people, and we can go into this within social media, and not just social media, but regular platforms. Yahoo News, if you get your emails through Yahoo, you know, you go to the Yahoo page, and up in the right corner is the little letter, and you click on that to go to your mail. But before that, in front of you, they have all these different, quote, news stories. And the fact is that most of them are a bunch of propaganda. They are a bunch of media nonsense. But now they have taken up to heavily censoring the comments that people leave on these news stories. And so they are silencing opinions they don't care for. And what they do is they say, oh, well, you're just being mean. And you're just doing this and just doing that. When on the flip side, I see all kinds of stuff that other people write towards the political right, and I'm like, well, why is this still up there? And occasionally some of it does get taken down, but other times it doesn't. But I've had several occasions where I've just made factual statements, and because it might contain certain words or a certain series of words, the algorithms they have written will reject the comment. And there's nothing wrong with the comment. The comment is just a flip side argument to what's being talked about in the article, but they don't like it. So they're not going to let it up there. So they censor it. And as a public company or as a private company, they do have the right to do that. Doesn't mean it's correct. Could it mean that it's a violation of the First Amendment and freedom of speech? Yes, it's a possibility. But again, it is their page. They have certain rules. And they can say, you know, Facebook in the same way, same with Instagram and all these other, even X or Twitter or whatever it's called this week, I don't know. He might have changed his mind again. They do have a certain set of guidelines that they are supposed to not only hold you to, but they are supposed to go by themselves. That is where a lot of them have issues, because I can tell you Facebook has a horrid double standard when it comes to their standards and their policies. They are horribly, horribly biased and are not afraid to do what they can to silence people they don't like. You know, The biggest thing is understanding that someone is not wrong just because they say something that differs from you. Just because it isn't the same thing you say or the same thing you believe, it doesn't make it wrong automatically. And it doesn't automatically get, and we're going to use one of these buzz terms, folks, hate speech, which horribly overused. Most people who toss around the word hate don't understand what a powerful word hate is. Hate is a very dark, horrible thing. And that's when I use it, I try to make sure I'm talking about something where I'm beyond disgusted. I am beyond angry. I am beyond this or that. It's one of those kind of a final line in the sand positions where you should only use the term hate I don't want to say it's an evil word, but it is close to it, because you are then talking about something that you loathe so despicably and so horrendously. It's basically the verbal equivalent of capital punishment. It's like, okay, hate is putting someone in the electric chair and throwing the switch. I had an uncle one time who, he loved me so much, he wanted me to sit on his lap for a special occasion. Turns out it was the day they were going to throw the switch. I'm kidding. That's an old joke. But hate is a really horrible word. But there are levels of hate speech. It is a real thing. But the term is thrown around and it's labeled onto anything that certain groups don't like. It doesn't matter whether it's hateful or not. If they don't like it, they call it hate speech. If you claim that marriage is between a man and a woman, you have many people in the LGBTQIA pound sign, symbol for Borite, I don't know, whatever they're down to in their little list of letters and symbols. If you say, well, I believe marriage is between a man and a woman, they will label that hate speech. If you say that you don't agree with homosexuality, they will label you as spreading hate speech. When all you're doing is really just spreading your opinion. Now, whether it's correct or not is a whole nother question. But the fact that they don't like what you say, so they simply label it hate speech, is wrong. It is not right. It is simply that. It is a differencing of opinion on something. I don't believe, and we're going to get into this later on a different show, but when it comes to the marriage thing, I think marriage is something that is supposed to be sacred. I don't necessarily think it's exclusive to any religion, and I don't think it's necessarily exclusive to any mode of thinking, because in my opinion, we cannot help who we fall in love with. I think that's a question that's well above the pay grade of the normal human being, and I'm not sure we always understand it, and that's why love makes us do such silly, goofy, crazy things at times, is we can't really always control where that comes from. Now, as far as the homosexuality side, I don't believe it's wrong. I don't, because, again, you can't help who you fall in love with. And what you choose or not choose as your lifestyle is your decision. Now, a lot of people are going to come down and say, oh, you're full of hate speech if you're calling it a decision. Well, it kind of is, because when we're born as kind of a blank slate. But we do have certain instincts, because human beings, like it or not, are a form of animal. When Mother Nature looks down at us, we're not a lot different than the cows and the ants and the rest of that stuff. We just have cars. And as an animal, we have certain instincts, and one of those instincts is to procreate. It is reproduction. And to do that, you need a man and a woman. It's the stuff on you see online about two women or two men is just wrong, because you need one and the other to make another life. It's the way nature's done it for millions of years, no matter the species. You know, they say, well, you see homosexual tendencies within animals and all this, and why, well, yeah, but you know, when they do it there, they don't make babies there either. But there's an innate instinct in the human being that drives us for reproduction and procreation. So I have no issue with people who choose different lifestyles. It is their choice. As long as they don't tell me that I have to do it or that I have to believe in this or believe in that, that's fine. I make the choice whether I want to believe in it or not. But they can't simply tell me, oh, we need to force you to accept this. Because that's another level of silencing people who don't agree with you by forcing them to believe is what you do. And that is, again, another one of those little attacks, those little tiny attacks we see on freedom and liberty. Oh, they're not taking away your freedoms. Oh, they're not taking away the... You want to bet? Let's go to the next part of this, and that is... we're going to talk more about hate speech in a minute, but we've got to get into this intellectual plague. That's what I call it, because that's what it is, really. Political correctness. Where they're basically... They alter speech to alter thought. Well, you can't use this word, and you can't use that word. Well, you can use this word, but you only use it in a certain way. You know, oh, that word, you can't use that word at all, because that word is just bad. There's really not such a thing as bad words. There's not. Bad words, bad language, it's a foolish notion that people want you to change your mode of thought by changing the way you speak and changing the way you write and changing the way you think about those words. And that's one of those things that comes up with hate speech. They want to change the way you look at things. But hate speech is protected. Even the most hateful of hate speech, the real true hate speech, is still free speech. It is still protected by freedom of speech. And if for no other reason, so that we know what the hateful part looks like or sounds like, so we know it when we see it or hear it. And it is protected because it needs to be. I can tell you right now, if you lost all of the badness in your life, if everything became cakes and roses, rainbows and unicorns, you would not appreciate, you would very quickly learn to not appreciate life, because you'd start looking for the problems, because we're so used to having problems. But not being there, you wouldn't realize how good the good really is. It took me a long time to realize and appreciate how important my nephews are to me. My nephews are the lights of my life. I don't have kids myself. My nephews are the closest thing, and they are just the most incredible thing in my life. And I had to learn that kind of a hard way, because I looked at all the things that I'd been through and done in my life and the bad things I had done. I'm far from a saint. I'm never going to get sainthood. That's for dadgum sure. But I had to understand that to understand the good parts of life. And that in itself is another reason why we need to look at the good parts of our life when it comes to things like depression or addiction or just the day-to-days. We see what goes on in the news, and according to them, the world's going to end at any moment. I mean, society is going to collapse, the world is going to implode, and everything is just going to go to hell in a handbasket because of this or because of that. And I'm talking the littlest, tiniest stuff is, oh my gosh, yeah, Lizzo says she's going to quit music. All kinds of people lost their brain. I mean, they flipped their giblet over this thing. To the abortion issue, which it is a very important issue. I'm not sure it carries the importance that sometimes it comes up as. In certain aspects, there are certain parts of it, yes, that are drastically, direly important. But there are other parts of it to where it just comes down to a simple, yes, this is right, no, that's wrong. Parts of it are that simple. But we need to be able to identify the goodness in life, and we cannot do that without a comparative. We have to have something to balance it with. And that's why balance is so important in having a good and healthy life. And part of that is in having the balance to know good from evil, right from wrong, good from bad. And without the bad, we don't really get a gauge on how good the good is. And we understand that some things are good and some things are great and some things are absolutely freaking fabulous. And so we need that comparison. We need hate speech there. We need people to, and plus, hey, let's be honest, it shows off who the idiots are. You get somebody in there who says, I'll give you a good one, somebody who sits there and says, well, we've spent too much money on zoos and aquariums with public tax dollars. We need to just bulldoze those up and sell off the animals to whatever group or this or that will take them, and we just need to clear that land and stop wasting tax dollars on all this. You want to know about an animal, get an encyclopedia. And that was actually made in a statement by a radio personality. Some of you might be shocked by this, some of you may not, but it's not word for word, but it is verbatim exactly. It is verbatim what he said. To get rid of these zoos and aquariums that have any and all public funding whatsoever, and if you want to learn about an animal, you go get your kid an encyclopedia. You're like, wow, that's really a stupid statement, isn't it? That's really uneducated. I mean, zoos, aquariums, different groups, different organizations have done amazing work to save certain species. But that statement was made by Rush Limbaugh. He said it was a waste of tax dollar time. We didn't need them. There's no reason for it. An animal goes extinct. Oh, well, that's how the world works. And it was very dumb. But then you get the other aspect of the dumb, where you get a mockumentary. I refuse to call it a documentary because it was a pathetic piece of work. I don't know if you remember one called Blackfish. It was a supposed documentary about SeaWorld. But what they did, and I watched the thing several times, is they spent the entire time taking incidents at other marine animal parks and then trying to find a way to blame SeaWorld for it. But one of the things they also did, and another way of deception, is they completely left out all of the great work that SeaWorld has done for conservation. And they do have a tremendously huge area for this. I've seen big parts of it at their Florida establishments. And if not for SeaWorld, the manatee would probably either be extinct or be damn close to it. They already still are very close to it, but they'd be gone by now if not for the efforts of SeaWorld. Oil spills that you see in the Gulf or in other parts of the world, SeaWorld is often one of the first people on the scene to help these animals that have been endangered by these spills. They move very, very quickly. In many cases, they've been there on hand before a lot of other rescue organizations have been there because of what they do with their parks. They make money commercially and through visitors and tourists, where they have the money to have these programs that do this. And they will take animals and they will take them back to SeaWorld and they will clean them up. Dawn Dishwashing Liquid did an excellent commercial with them several years ago, how they were using Dawn to help wash the grease and the oil out of these animals because it was gentle and it didn't harm the animals. And a certain kind of the soap, that is. And it washed out the oil and all these different infectants on there that had come from the spills. And not once did they mention any of that in that mockumentary, Blackfish. And that's what makes it a mockumentary and not a documentary. It was a horrible lie. And the spin where they would take other incidents at other parks and somehow try to say, well, that's SeaWorld's fault. It's like the Ringling Brothers. Ringling Brothers, for many years, thanks to the policies put in place by the great animal trader Gunther Gable Williams, had some of the strictest guidelines on how animals at the circus were to be treated, more so than any and all other circuses in the world. They were the most strict about how well their animals were supposed to be treated. In a lot of cases, several of them were treated better than the people were, because after all, the people had the choice to treat themselves in certain ways. But you'd see pictures, and you can find them on the internet, where people are lying out in the grass between shows, and they've got lions and tigers laying on the ground next to them in the sun. But because Ringling Brothers was the biggest name and the biggest show in the circus industry, that's who the special interest groups went after and attacked, and all these protests outside of. They didn't care to read the fact that they had all these rules and instituted all these regulations about how to treat animals. They just said, well, this is the biggest name. This is who we're going to go after. And that's why SeaWorld gets so much attention and so many attacks. They're the biggest name, so that's who the groups go after. And that is another way to tell when these groups are basically frauds, because what they do is they will attack the people who have the best policies and the best rules, and they're simply attacking them because of the name. You know, they attack SeaWorld because it's the biggest name in the marine parks. They attack Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circuses because they're the biggest names in the circus and carnival industry with animals. And the owner of the Ringling Brothers, who, his name escapes me again, but he gave in, shut down the circus, stopped touring, and then when they did start back up again, they did so without the animals. And if you read the comments online, they are overwhelmingly, and I'm talking it ain't even close, it is like 70 to 85% telling them to bring back the animals, and only a mere 5 to 10 to 15% who will tell them not to. And, oh, we enjoyed it without the animals. We're so thankful that you stopped treating them so cruelly. And obviously these people have never read a book before. They haven't bothered to read the history of Ringling Brothers or read about the policies instituted by Gunther Gable Williams, who came across the sea, and he was from Eastern Europe, and arguably the greatest animal trainer of all time. You see posters from those old days of the circuses back in the 60s where you have this big, beautiful blonde, you could tell he's an Eastern European kind of looking fellow with the blonde hair, the blue eyes, and very muscular and tanned, and he's got a panther wrapped around his shoulders and a big smile on his face. 9 times out of 10, that picture is of Gunther Gable Williams. He was a truly great man, and was a great man for animal rights, because even though he trained these animals and taught them to do these things, he was also insanely strict and very, very dedicated to their well-being and their prosperity and being treated well. And he wanted to say, basically, you know, if the animals are going to be here in the circus, you will treat them properly. And he got to the point with the Barnum and Baileys that he could institute these policies that people really couldn't step up and argue with, because he was right. The animals should have been treated better, and they were treated very well at Ringling Brothers, where they were treated horribly at many other circuses, but the other circuses did not garner the publicity that protesting at Ringling Brothers did, so that's why the special groups attacked them. You got the ASPCA, and you've got some of these others. I can't remember the name of the other one. But basically, they're the ones that said, oh, we would rather, you know, see humans die rather than experiment on animals, which, in a, that's a little extreme. I see no reason why a lot of these companies have to experiment on animals the way they do. Some, to a certain understanding, you have to have certain trials where you have to test it on living creatures before you test it on humans. But I'm also of the opinion that, we got plenty of pedophiles in the prisons who, you know, for a few extra privileges would probably volunteer. And so we ought to give them that option. And they pretty much gave up their right to civil treatment whenever they did what they did to their victims. So, and I'd rather do it to them than do it to animals. And I know you think, wow, that's off topic. Well, not really, because we get back to it, and we're getting back to that I have the freedom of speech to say these things. And freedom of speech lies in that. It lies in the fact that you have a voice. And again, like freedom of religion, and other countries have freedom of speech to degrees. You have certain levels of speech that is flat out tolerated everywhere. You can do whatever. But almost nobody has the levels of freedom of speech we have here in the United States. But again, that is being broken down. It is being whittled down by things like political correctness and all this, you know, DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Oh, you can't say this word, and you can't make that statement, and you can't have this opinion. And it is a direct attack on freedom of speech. It is chiseling away at these things. When you come up, when they say, well, you can't use this word. This word is something that's horrible. We're talking about the N-word with the black community, and I don't say it because it is a very ugly word. No matter what it is an ugly word. It's like the word we've talked about before that gets shortened on a lot of name-calling on the Internet, unfortunately, from supposedly both sides, even though these two sides act an awful lot alike. When you see somebody called somebody a Trump-tard or a libtard, it's going off of the term retard, which is a very ugly term. It didn't used to be. It used to be just a medical description, a kind of a layman's medical description of certain disorders and certain disabilities. And it was not meant in a negative context at all. It wasn't. But somebody decided to start using it that way, and the negative connotation became a norm. And when that happens, you're breaking down language. You cannot allow things like this to say, well, we're going to take this word and we're just going to make it ugly. There's the term Oriental, which at some point in my life, and I can't pinpoint the exact spot, but at some point in my life, somewhere, using the term Oriental to talk about people who were from Asia was somehow became negative. And I still can't, and I'm a movie fanatic, and I watch old movies, old TV shows, and I still cannot pinpoint the exact spot where that became an offensive word, because I remember seeing it and hearing it in James Bond movies, in all these, you know, big international type films, and it was not being used as in a negative way at all. It was just another form of saying an Asian, and I always thought it sounded much more exotic. I thought it was a cool word. And to this day, I still do. I still don't understand the negative connotation behind it. I understand it for certain other words, but that one I haven't seen it yet. And we have to understand that we cannot allow this to keep happening, where they keep vilifying words to the point where, you know, how long before ice cream becomes a bad word? Oh, you're ice cream. Oh, now you're offending the lactose intolerant with the word cream, and those who hate the cold, you know, you use ice, and why don't you just use, you know, a flavored milk product or flavored, I don't know what the heck you'd come up with. It's a frozen custard. Well, aren't you still ticking off people who don't like the cold? Well, yes, but you're not using ice. And ice is a negative connotation because of that immigration thing. That's that fascist group, ICE, that wants to detain good people, migrants who are here searching for work. When does it stop? That's the question. Once you hit a slippery slope, you start down it. And if you've ever been in a vehicle on a slippery slope and you're headed for something rather nasty like a tree or a cliff, trust me, I've been on the slippery slope with both in a motor vehicle. It's terrifying. You're headed for a slippery slope and you see the cliff coming up, and the next thing you know, you're sitting there and you're feeling sorry for the cartoon coyote because you're like, this is really going to hurt for whatever you're going to hit. So why are we always putting ourselves on these slippery slopes? Why can't we simply have words and see them in the way we talked about a couple of weeks ago and understand them in the context they are being used and what intent they are being used? You know, I don't care if it's the N-word. I don't care if it's the retard word. If it's being used for a joke and a punchline and it's not being meant to put anybody down or used to anybody negatively, I got one I know I could tell you, because the joke was actually told by a black man and the punchline used the N-word, and it's funny as all get out, and I've told the joke to many friends of mine who are black and they laugh their heads off. But for some reason the media and different groups have decided, and again, we are changing the greater notions of things to appease these teeny tiny little groups of radicals who want to change everything, and want to make all these changes to our society to just appease them. And we should not be doing this. Language is essential. Words are important. Words have specific meanings. They do not change because of trends and fads. All right, we gave you some of these a while back, and we talked about some of these definitions that, you know, some people try to, like, ban. People are always talking about banning books. In Florida and Texas, they're banning books left and right. No, they're not. Nobody's banning books, people. They may make them inaccessible through specific areas, like certain levels of schools, but that is called age appropriateness. It has been a duty and a learned part of being a librarian for centuries. That's the reason you don't have Playboy magazine in the periodical section of a junior high, or a high school for that matter. We have a need for words. We have a need for understanding them, because banning something means you're banning it from society. You're taking it completely out of the loop, where you can't even order it yourselves. But any of these books that they claim they're being banned in Florida and Texas, you can go online and you could buy, and you can read them to your children at home if you wish. But doesn't mean that you're right, and it doesn't mean that the school is wrong. That's just your choice as how you wish to be a parent. And the school is trying to do the best they can for what is honestly a collective good within a government school. I don't like using that term. I don't like that, what it means, because it has acquired a very negative connotation over societies through things like communism for collective good. But as an overall norm, they have to have a certain level of access to a certain information, and certain access being told in a certain way. And some young minds simply aren't able to process certain things. And so that's why when it comes to this deal, everybody just says, well, why don't you just let kids be kids and just teach them as they grow, and not necessarily start shoving everything down their throat right off the bat. And you can turn and you can say the same thing to the religious folks. If your religion is such a great thing and it is such a wonderful and marvelous thing, why not let children just grow up being children, and then let them make the choice to choose to believe in that religion once they become adults, rather than stuffing it down their throats with Sunday schools and summer Bible camps and all this other stuff? Why do you have to indoctrinate children? Because I've said it before, I'll say it again, I don't care what your reasoning is, I don't care what your issue is, I don't care what your subject is, I don't care if it's religion or what, brainwashing children is always wrong. Simple fact. It's like slavery. It's always wrong. Simple fact. We need children to understand that speech is important to them. We need to teach them how to engage and to talk to people. We need to not let them rely on tech and cell phones and iPads and all this other stuff. They need to learn how to communicate with themselves, converse with people their own age, also to converse with people who are older, converse with people who are younger. I had one of the blessings of my life, and kind of a curse as well, because I didn't necessarily get along with a lot of people my age in high school, because a lot of my friends were my dad's friends. I grew up talking to and being around adults a lot when I was younger, and so I got along with people normally older than I am. And a lot of times I've got friends who are my age who, when I look at our relationship, I still see them treating me as if I was 10, 15 years older, because I just come off that way, and because of my life experience. And I don't have an issue with that. I learned to deal with it over life. But either way, children need to understand how to have a discussion, how to have an open discussion, an honest discussion, a rational discussion with other people their age or older or younger, and to understand why they need to have it, and why that their voice and their speech is important, and that their voice and their speech is important to society, that it be able to be shared openly. And if you see something that you don't like, well, they're going to tear down this building, or they're going to not tear down this building, and they're going to say, well, we're keeping this building because, well, we don't want to make waves, we don't want to hurt people's feelings on this. Well, it's an eyesore. The place is dilapidated. It is taking away from all the other stuff in the neighborhood, and that is why certain communities have eminent domain, is that, you know, sooner or later a property owner has been given enough options and they've just refused, and it has become a blighted property. And so people speak out. They use their freedom of speech to say that you are hindering the growth of the area and the growth of the neighborhood, and something needs to be done. And it's not the action of what needs to be done that is the important part. It is the fact that we have that freedom of speech to be able to speak out and do that. So it's not just about going after our elected officials and their policies and all that stuff. It is about a societal thing where freedom of speech should be an accepted norm everywhere. in this country. And just because you disagree with someone does not make them wrong. It does not make it hate speech. If you run into somebody who labels what you say as hate speech just because they disagree with it, you're dealing with a very inferior intellect who probably does not have the cognitive ability to understand the conversation you're in. It's like that saying, don't play chess with a pigeon. You know, because win or lose, the pigeon is just going to knock the pieces over and crap on the board anyway and strut around like he won the thing. So, or the old saying, don't teach a pig to sing. It gets you all messy and it annoys the hell out of the pig. So understand when to pick your battles. You keep saying what you want to say. Use your free speech. You don't necessarily go after it. I've tried cutting back what I do online and with people, in that I make my statement and then I try to walk away from it. Or I'll say, well, I had this discussion yesterday. I'm still getting notifications or this or that about it, but it's a new day. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. Or, we'll use Facebook as kind of an example. Let's say a news story comes across your feed. You can make an initial comment about it and your feelings about it and not respond to others. Don't go down and read other people's comments and respond to them. Just make your statement. And if people wish to respond to you, then you can go into discussion with them there. You don't have to respond to other people's comments. You can take that back and not do that and cut back on the frustration. Because after all, you've made your statement. You've made your comment and you've put your voice out there. And if people want to believe or they want to understand more, they can ask a question or they can say, hey, we agree, great job, appreciate it, and thumbs up. We can always have somebody who comes back here, well, you know, I like it, but I have an issue with this and this. And hopefully people can do that more and more, is come back and actually start to discuss things again. We need that in society. We need it terribly. But the media and the powers that be that control them don't want that. They want us divided. They don't want free speech to have the power that it does. So that is why what we hear on television today is so diversive compared to 30, 40, 50 years ago. I mentioned a couple episodes ago, or maybe last hour, no, a couple episodes ago, about Walter Cronkite and the deliveries he would make on the news. He simply told you the who, what, when, where, why. He had an excellent and elegant way of stating it. You knew the facts about the story when he finished, but you never got his opinion. You never really got his take. He simply delivered. That's it. And that is what journalism is supposed to be about. Journalists should have a responsibility to themselves. They should have an accountability to where they leave their opinion at the door. They just tell you, here's the story, and then you make your decision about it. But today, everything is filled with opinion. I see headlines all the time online and in other publications that automatically assume someone is spreading conspiracy theories. Oh, he said this and that. Conspiracy theories. He's got his tinfoil hat on. You know, I don't see the tinfoil comment that much on the headlines, but I am seeing a lot more of where they automatically in headlines are saying, well, this person was this and that because they spread conspiracy theories. Well, not necessarily. That's just what they disagree with, and that is not the job of the media. Now, you did have people in the media over years in, like, the newspapers who were called columnists. Columnists did state opinions, but they were very much separated away from the journalists. They were seen as two very, very different animals, and they still should be. So when you – and I'll give you a good sports analogy for sports fans that are listening. If you ever listen to a Kansas City Chiefs game, one of the things I love the most is Mitch Holthus. Mitch is arguably, in my opinion, the best football commentator ever because he calls it right down the middle while also being positive for his own team. If one of our guys jumps off sides, if one of our guys commits a foul or a penalty, he's the first one that says it. Oh, that was the sausages there right on the line. He jumped the gun on the play, and they're going to take us back 5 yards because he got too excited. But that's before the referee even he blows the whistle, but before you hear him make the call on the speaker, Mitch has already told us that, yeah, it was one of our own guys. He made the penalty. He acknowledges it. He accepts it. He takes the accountability for the team, and we move on to the next topic. And so many others. I've listened because when Art Haynes is doing from the news desk in the pregame, postgame, and the halftime, He will play commentators from other teams, and you will hear them openly, oh, no, that they're going to call that on so-and-so, but you know he didn't. But then you get to see the video, and you're like, why were you even defending this? This is obvious. He jumped sides. But Mitch is very honest. He is very straightforward, and I've said this to him on several occasions, how proud I am to be a Chiefs fan because of him, because he is so honest and straightforward, and he calls it down the middle. I told him he's like one of these classic journalists who just gives you the who, what, where, and why. They did it during World War II. Journalists did. They could give you the who, what, where, and why while still being part of the team and keeping up the American morale. Over the years, we saw a lot of that sway back and forth. We saw some who would go over the top with the rah-rah, sis, boom, bah, USA side. And then we saw the other side, which has taken over today, which is the negatives, where they're more apt to believe that America screwed up than that America was there to save the day. And they love the dirty laundry, boy. That song from the 80s, Dirty Laundry, if you don't understand it, seriously, get on YouTube, find one of the videos where the lyrics are there for that song, Dirty Laundry, and you will understand every little bit about today's media. That song is perfect for it. Because, you know, they think that sensationalism somehow equates to journalism, which it does not. And I know I'm running over time today, but we need free speech out there. We need to speak freely. We need to have our voices heard on the subjects we are passionate about and we believe in. And I don't care if your belief is in about abortion or it's about the space program or about the border or about the death penalty, or if it's on the other side where it's about, well, new Coke is worse than old, is a lot better than old Coke, or old Coke should have stuck, or this Snickers bar does not have the number of peanuts in it they claim it should have. Whatever your fight is, whatever your battle is, whether it be an environmental concern, you need to speak out. You need to get your voice out there, no matter what it is, and make sure it's heard. You know, don't force it on anyone, but let people know how you feel about a specific issue. If you're into the sea turtles, or you're into the spotted owl, or the jumping jaboa, which they rerouted a highway for to save and Southern California, these jumping mice or something like that, to save a mating ground or something. If you're in those causes, fine, do this. But remember that your free speech should not infringe on the free speech of others. But at the same time, you need to understand that you need to get your voice out there. We go back to those words that we keep talking about from the first episode, vigilance and responsibility and accountability. And we also need to throw in balance into there. And I can go back here and we can look at those words again. And we can say, you know, this is the important part of what we're studying here. And, you know, education, vigilance, responsibility, and accountability. And having all of those makes your speech that much better, that much more solid, that much more important. When you have all that, someone cannot come back and attack you because you're educated about your subject, you're vigilant about keeping up with what's going on with your subject, you're responsible for the pros and cons of your subject, and you're accountable for your part in the subject or someone else's part in the subject. So when you do those things, free speech means a lot more. Next week, we are going to get into the freedom of the press. I'm going to bring an old book in from the Associated Press, the handbook that they used back during one of the wars. I believe it's either World War II or Korea, but it talks in there about what the responsibilities were of a journalist in the field during wartime, and it's going to shock you that it was actually much different than what you see on television today. And once again, I'm challenging you. I'm challenging you not to believe a word I say. I'm challenging you not to take me at face value and say, oh, well, I heard this on the radio from so-and-so, or I heard it on a podcast from so-and-so, so it must be true. Do not be that person. If I see you online, I'm going to call you out. Go to our page, American Unleashed, and talk about these subjects. Chime in, ask questions, whatever. Engage. But again, if you just don't go on there to call me names and to, you know, with a bunch of rhetoric and nonsense that has no there's no way to respond to it, you're going to be ignored, if not deleted. especially if you just sit there and name call. Also, if you make a statement or a comment on there and then block us to where we can't reply to you, you're also going to be deleted, because then you are cutting off access to open discussion. And like I've said, we need open discussion. So if you're not open to discuss, you're really not worth the time. But if you get on there and you have questions, you have statements, go to American Unleashed on Facebook and put those up there, and we were going to try to build to a section of the show where we talk about those. Again, a little over time this week, but I hope you have a wonderful weekend. I hope you had a great holiday weekend this past weekend with the family, your friends, and your loved ones. Hope you're having a marvelous week this weekend. It is going to be beautiful weather here in the Ozark Mountains this weekend. So get out, enjoy your family, enjoy the world. Remember, it is not nearly as bad as the media wants you to think it is. So get out there and enjoy life. Have a great weekend, and remember, always, always put freedom first.